I want to welcome Agile XRM to the podcast. I've known the people at Agile XRM for the past 12 years. I've seen how their business process management tool can add massive value to complex organizational processes in sectors such as finance and government. If you have complex processes or a need for dialogues on the Power Platform or Dynamics 365, take a look at how this BPM tool can add value. You can find them at agilexrm.com or check out the show notes for more details. Welcome to the MVP Show. My intention is that you listen to the stories of these MVP guests and are inspired to become an MVP and bring value to the world through your skills. If you have not checked it out already, I do a YouTube series called How to Become an MVP. The link is in the show notes. With that, let's get on with the show. Today's guest is all the way from the United Kingdom. He works at A&S Group as the Power Platform Functional Consultant on his way to CEO. He was first awarded MVP in 2023. He's a bit of a low coat and tech-obsessed geek, power addict, of course. He started his career around Microsoft 365 and business application while still in high school. So started off very young, straight into a Power Platform career working at a Microsoft Gold partner. You can find links to his bio, social media, etc. in the show notes for this episode. Lewis, welcome to the show.
Mark, thank you so much for having me. This is awesome. This is great. How are you?
Good. As I was saying pre-show, that you're pretty famous across the world. You will be, I assume, one of our lowest aged MVPs joining the community, which is a testament to the great work that you're doing in the community, which is highly, highly, highly impressive. But before we get underway and unpick your career thus far, tell us a bit about food, family, and fun, and how old are you?
Food,
I don't normally ask how old people are, but I just want to give the audience an idea of how young one can be to get in this game.
Yeah, no, sure. So food, family, and fun. So, favorite food. Now this is a really easy one for me. I am not the one that's like, I'm going to jump between a bunch of different things. I love loads of food, right? I love loads of food. But chicken katsu curry and Wagamama's, I am known for being there like 24/7. So when people like message me on Teams in an evening, they're like, why are you still online? I'm like, I'm at Wagamama's though, so it's fine, right? So that's an absolute standard straight away. Family. So I'll jump to the age thing straight away because I'm 19. So I'm you know, not that far out of high school, as you said. So I still live with my parents at the moment. I still live with my family at home. I travel between my house and my partner's house quite regularly, between somewhere called Milton Keynes or quite close to Milton Keynes and Reading in the UK. Love family. Family's cool. And last one, what was the last one? Friends. I don't get loads of time to see friends, right?
What about fun? What do you do for fun?
Fun. Oh, what do I do for fun? Oh my God. You know, this is also another one that I'm terrible at answering because everyone knows that I'm just stuck at my desk like 24/7. I am trying lately so much to step away though, but community stuff is fun. Conferences, events, meeting up with people in the community, doing stuff like this is awesome. And well, seeing friends as well, right? That's, you do a bit of that stuff too.
I thought I just saw some happy snaps in New York City or something like that.
Yes. I went to NYC with my family for Christmas. That was literally awesome. That was so cool. I really, really want to live in New York now. So that's definitely like on a bucket thing one day for sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's incredible.
I really love cities. Like, I'd love to live in a city. I live like, so Milton Keynes in the UK is considered a quote city. I wouldn't really call it like a proper city. I imagine you may have been to Milton Keynes before. I don't know if you lived in the UK.
I've not. Reading is the closest I've been to where you are.
Okay, cool. Okay. Well, I mean, if you've been to Reading, you can imagine Reading is somewhat of a city. They don't actually call it a city. I don't think it has a cathedral. But Milton Keynes, they call it a city. It's just a land of like roads and roundabouts, a million roundabouts. It's like the Florida grid system, but instead of you know, what do they call them? Intersections. Instead of that, they use roundabouts everywhere. And there's just like thousands of them. It's ridiculous. That's like, yeah, it's not the vibe of a city though, right? It's nothing like London. It's nothing like New York. It's nothing like any of that. So I'd love to live in like London, New York one day.
So why I was surprised, I have done a New York Christmas, what would have been 2018, I think, and I've done a London Christmas. And in my mind, nothing beats London. Nothing beats Piccadilly Circus. Nothing beats that sense of it is the most festive time of year, the lights, and I suppose what it is, you get the lights in New York, you know, I've been to the big Christmas tree, all that, but it's all commercial lights. It's all brands and their Christmas themes, where London is just Christmas for Christmas for Christmas. And that, I just love it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, New York was cool because it was New York. It didn't feel like if I'd gone there in summer though, or like if I went there just after Christmas, it would have felt a whole lot different. For being Christmas, right? Like there were lights, and there was like, you know, when you get in a New York taxi, it would play like the same damn Christmas song every single time you got in, that kind of stuff. But it was like, you know, it was like you put up a few house decorations and kind of stuff like that. It wasn't like the mega stuff that London seems to do. It wasn't like you have it strung across the roads and like, you know, like the likes of Oxford Street or Regent Street and stuff like that, where they have it like all plastered everywhere. And, you know, no, London definitely beats it for Christmas, for sure.
When was the very first time that you found out about something within the Power Platform?
The first time I found out about Power Platform was, so I had done a little bit of Microsoft 365 stuff, and I did that with my swim group.
How had you done that at school?
So it was actually preschool, to be honest. It wasn't preschool.
You're in preschool? Like 4 years, 4 years old you started?
But my journey started outside of school, actually. Preschool is the wrong word, outside of school. And I was that year group, right, that was the ones that when COVID hit, they were like, no GCSEs, you guys are done for the year now. We're going to like figure out what we would have graded you. You don't actually get the opportunity to take your exams, but lucky you, you get grades for free and you don't have to sit any tests or anything. And we had like the period between, I think maybe like March and September, where people did nothing. Like you just were on summer for that long. And during that period, if we take another step back, I never go from the beginning. I always have to take another step back. But if we take another step back, whilst I was actually in school still, I used to be a regional swimmer. So I swam at the level of the Southeast region in England. Eventually, I got really, really fed up of it. I absolutely despised it at one point. You know, we were having to do like 16 hours of training a week. It was like up at 4:30 on multiple days of the week. It was nuts. So I was like, nope, don't want to do this anymore. But I really, really loved the swim club that I was a part of still, right? So I decided that, yeah, I'm going to step away from it. But then we had this thing where COVID hit and I wanted to still stay involved. Now, before COVID hit, I was doing like poolside volunteering and coaching and stuff like that, where I could be there and still stay involved. But then COVID hit and it was like, okay, well, I'm not doing like the online exercise classes that all of the swimmers are doing. There's nothing I can really help out with in terms of like coaching or anything like that, because they actually like need proper like exercise and fitness coaches to do this online training with them. So I was like, well, hey, I'll work with like their admin and committee team whilst I'm doing absolutely nothing during the summer period. And I decided that I would start, you know, working with that admin and committee membership type teams, the people that were doing the finances, etc. And I came into this group of people and they were all using like personal email addresses. There was like data everywhere that shouldn't have been everywhere. It was so unorganized. You know, no one was on the same page. You know, the concept of like a shared file, like attachments were their thing, right? They lived and breathed on attachments. So I decided that, you know, knowing that my school was doing this Microsoft thing in the background, everyone was doing school on Teams, but I wasn't part of it because I was that year that wasn't doing anything. I was like, well, that's kind of like, I feel like I'd really like to be involved in some of the cool techie stuff that they're doing all sat at home on Teams during the school still. So I was like, well, hey, let me bring that stuff over into this world that I'm in. let's take a look at Microsoft 365. I know that, you know, I've used it before, like the family package where you just get, you know, the Office applications and OneDrive, etc. And I was like, let me look at what the business side looks like and we can have a chat here. And, you know, it didn't take me too long and I managed to convince the treasurer of the club to spend, I think, however much, you know, it cost to buy 30 licenses for volunteers and coaches of the club. And I rolled out Microsoft 365, having never touched the business version of it within 2 days. You know, it was a really simple setup. We just rolled out Teams and Outlook and we left it at that to begin with. Then I came back to sixth form and, you know, A-levels and school and that kind of stuff in September. And we were doing the thing, you know, getting into sixth form, figuring it out, those first couple of months of A-levels, just settling in kind of thing. And then they started to offer out like these different volunteering opportunities, because when you get to the end of sixth form and you're starting to do UCAS applications and stuff like that for university, they always want to see extra stuff that you've done outside of just your study. So if it's like really, really simple volunteering opportunities, like you've helped with a coffee bar at lunch or whatever it is. And those were the kind of things they were offering. I was like, okay, that's great. I have these skills over here, though. I know you're a Microsoft school. I know that you're on the incubator program and you're going for a Microsoft showcase school. Can I help? Is there anything I can get involved with? And the school directly didn't have anything to begin with. But the thing is, because we had this COVID thing, a bunch of students fell behind during that lockdown period. And the government basically gave schools grants to bring those students back out of school hours with tutoring sort of initiatives and stuff like that. So they had this whole like extra school thing going on outside of the normal school process and the systems that they were using, etc. And they had a bunch of these tutoring contracts suddenly that they needed to fulfill. They had all of these tutors that they'd hired for out of, you know, school time working, because full-time staff weren't doing this. They hired additional tutors for this stuff. They needed to manage like safeguarding and contacts for parents where they were doing it across the trust rather than just via one of the schools. And, you know, because they weren't using any of those school systems, they couldn't just tap into that data. They needed to capture all of it in their own little silo. And they were like, well, hey, we can still stick this in our tenant. And we found this Power Apps button where we've been using forms before. And it's not that you can't do that much. We can't, you know, do all of this validation stuff that we want to do. We can't hide and show this stuff to the extent that we want to do it at, you know. But we found this Power Apps button and we feel like, you know, maybe this could do some stuff with some forms that we want to do. So they're like, okay, go check out this Power Apps thing. Apparently it does what we need it to do. You're going to tell us how it works. I'm like, okay, so I took it away and I genuinely sat on this thing for a month going, nope, don't like it. This isn't a database. This is not a database. This is not where I'm putting the data. That does not look right at all. And then eventually I feel like you just get to a point and you're like, I'm just going to build something like really, really simple, accept how it works, build a thing. And then it turns out to actually be really, really damn simple. And that was the first, you know, time I had touched Power Apps or Power Platform or any of the products within the suite kind of thing. And it sort of went from there. So it was helping a tutoring nonprofit organization within my school's multi-academy trust to start resolving some of the business problems they were having with just managing, you know, student and tutoring contracts. So that, yeah, that was it.
So you're still at school while this is all happening?
I was at the start of a 2-year sixth form program. Yeah.
So who discovered you? How did you get out of there into the community and, you know, 19 years old, MVP? Tell me about that journey.
Oh, how did I get started in the community? You know, that the biggest uplift was probably the webcast that I did with Donna Sarkar, which was the Less Code, More Power webcast at the time. I'm trying to think how I actually ended up doing it. I think this sounds crazy, right? But I had watched some of these videos and stuff like that, and it was actually just watching other people on YouTube and go, oh my God, that's so cool that they built that thing. And I would spend like all of this time literally just watching the Microsoft 365 community and product YouTube channels being like, oh my God, that feature's so cool. Oh my God, we can build something with that. I want to get my hands on it kind of thing. And I started to watch these podcasts and webcasts that they were doing as well, where I was like, Donna was going through all of these things with these different citizen devs and stuff like that. And I'm like, I want to do something like that. And I actually contacted Microsoft support. I opened a support ticket and I was like, I just need to speak to someone, like get me to a person that can help with this. And, you know, it was obviously your first stage when you're like working with a really small multi-academic trust is you're getting through to that first line of support that Microsoft have. You know, it's not a unified contract. It's not anything on like premier level support, anything like a critical situation, none of that. No. So you don't get like any sort of enhanced level of support straight away. You're right at the front of the queue kind of thing. It's what it felt like. But I ended up on a call with a support engineer, and I don't think they really understood what we were asking to begin with. Obviously, I feel like this kind of query for them is probably not the typical one that they get on a support line. And I'm like, no, but you don't understand. I have to do this webcast, and like, I'd love to like figure out if we can make a case study on what we've been doing with this academy and with, you know, with our education tools. And eventually, somehow, after a while, you know, I think I get the feeling that people in PowerCat were eventually copied in because it started to talk about case study stuff like that. I remember, I forget the guy's name in the community. Oh my God, the teacher that worked, that ended up at Microsoft.
Dan.
He went by his teacher's name still.
Mr. Dang.
That's it. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And he was copied in on an email thread at some point. And I was like, okay, cool. I have some people now, right? This is good. I was approaching it as a case study to begin with. So I was like, okay, yeah, let's do a case study on this thing. That would be awesome. This is the stats. This is what we've been doing. They're looking at telemetry and they're like, we can't see that there are, you know, enough people using this to make it a Microsoft case study just yet. But they're like, well, hey, they followed up at some point. They're like, hey, we have this person introduce, like Donna Sarkar. This is the person. She heard about your thing. She wants to do a webcast with you. And then we got on this call together and recorded this webcast. And that's how I became part of the community. That's literally like the first thing. Yeah, it was so cool. Yeah.
Donna shines some light on you and things took off. Okay, that's epic. That's an epic story. And of course, now you're working at ANS and, you know, I know a lot of rock stars in ANS. Tell me, how did you, school finished? What happened next?
So, school finished. Now, I said that thing about I had the swim club that I used to be really, really involved with. And I knew someone at that swim club that was the CTO of a really small partner in Weedenbeck in Northamptonshire, in the UK. And I went to work with another MVP at that consultancy, just starting to do stuff on Dynamics and Power Platform. To begin with, I just did really simple stuff around internal Dynamics. In fact, it wasn't really, really simple. I tell a lie. It was just internal projects. And the first thing that I was, you know, chucked into straight away was an upgrade from PSA to Project Operations straight away. I mean, just, you know, a couple of solutions on the Power Platform. I was straight into like Dynamics world, and that was a real like good first bit of experience. I was like untangling huge messes of Dynamics customizations with solutions that somehow ended up managed and dependent on each other, which was its own can of worms. It was, yeah, that was kind of crazy. And then I did that for like 3 months. So it went to an extent. We got stuff kind of clean. It didn't go crazy far in terms of like we developed strategy and started building like huge backlogs and stuff like that. But I did that for like 2 to 3 months. And then I went straight from there into consultancy with that partner, where the head of the practice there was like, no, I need to put you on like customer work. Now we have these customers that are waiting for this stuff to be done. Come join and do this over here. So I worked on quite a few different customers there. We were doing all sorts of stuff like solutions on Dataverse, model-driven apps that were like solutions for document management between. It was almost like there was a custom solution that we built, which was to replace the out-of-the-box functionality for the SharePoint integration with MDAs. We built this custom solution for that had enhanced functionality. So that was one of the things I worked on. I worked on a Canvas app solution for one of the UK's major railway companies, operators, sorry. And that was just really simple policy management and document management that they were doing in SharePoint libraries with approvals processes and stuff like that on the top of it in Canvas apps as well. And stuff like, you know, document conversions. So when they, you know, published a document, it became a PDF and stuff like that. Really, really simple, cool stuff. I worked with a number of different other organizations whilst I was there. And then I got my MVP whilst I was there last February, I think it was last Feb. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I spent some more time there. And then I think last April it was, I moved to ANS as a functional engineer / consultant in our COE team. So I've been, in ANS for quite a while now. ANS has provided like an enormous opportunity in terms of the accounts I get to work with. I work with an account that has an absolute insane number of low code assets. I'm sure Chris Huntingford has screamed about so much already, right? And then another customer, which is an absolutely ginormous implementation of omnichannel live chat. Which has been really, really fun to work with as well, because I didn't know Omnichannel before I came to ANS, and I was thrown onto this customer straight away, and I'm like, okay, I'll learn Omnichannel so I can work with this. So there's some really cool stuff that I'm doing there in terms of collaboration with Microsoft and the customer, and just a really huge implementation of live chat and Omnichannel, which is really cool. And then it was, sort of around December time last year, I started to do more sort of architecture work and stuff like that, which for one of my customers I've been doing since the start, but started to do more of that around December. And then I've transitioned into a CSA role. I think it was last Monday was the official date of change. I've been doing it for like quite a long while longer, but last Monday I think was the official change into the CSA role.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. What a journey. Who nominated you to get you in the program, MVP?
Charlie Phipps. So, this was a cool thing actually that I missed out. Whilst I was at Hybrit, the consultancy I used to work at, November, I think, of 2022, I think, or maybe it was, I don't know if Ignite was in November, but 2022 Ignite, they did the spotlights on different countries, and they did almost like on-tour spotlights. And I spoke at the UK spotlight of Microsoft Ignite, which was really, really cool. And I did a session with Chris Huntingford, Peter Veenstra, and Charlie Phipps, where we talked about, what was it? It was like a unified cloud ecosystem approach. So whether we, put all of our ducks in one basket, or eggs in one basket, sorry, or whether we look at, a multi-cloud approach and stuff like that. We spoke about the whole thing around the three Microsoft clouds and the unified cloud. And the different sort of vendor approaches and stuff like that, which was really, really awesome. Because it was a completely different thing to what I had done before. I was in that very siloed space, which was I build apps on low code, which was completely different for that session. And that was so much broader and so much more interesting. And I almost led that round table between the four of us and kept the guys in check, so to speak, and asked questions. And they sort of had to throw back responses and stuff like that. And it was after that session that Charlie nominated me for the program. That was an awesome experience. That was great.
So good. I feel like I could talk for ages with you. We're well over time already. I hope to see you at Dynamic Minds in Slovenia. Hopefully you're going. Yeah.
Yeah. I have not. I don't know. Is it too late to book?
It's May. I'm going to fly all the way from New Zealand, so I'm expecting to see you there. So Twist, go find somebody that has the corporate credit card if you don't have one, and get them to get you at that event. Critically important. You'll love it. It's the conference of all conferences to attend. So I hear, hence why I'm coming. Lewis, it's been awesome talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's been great.
Hey, thanks for listening. I'm your host, business application MVP Mark Smith, otherwise known as the NZ365 guy. If you like the show and want to be a supporter, check out buymeacoffee.com/NZ365 guide. Thanks again, and see you next time.